We'll call this meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors to order. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, this is the time in our meeting where we have public comment on issues that are not on the agenda. I have one request to speak today from Debbie Glover and Abby Vaughn. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right.
They're part of the mentor.
Okay. So they check both boxes. So they okay, they're filled their slip out improperly. Okay, well, we'll call them when we come to that item. Does any member of the public wish to address this board on an item that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to our consent calendar. So they have a request to pull item A, 3D for a separate vote. Does anybody else would like to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adopt rest of the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Supervisor O'Brien, seconded by Supervisor Grover to adopt the consent calendar, except for item 3D in the A section. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is carried 5-0. Okay, item A3D. Mr. Monteith?
Yes. I have asked that this matter be pulled from the consent calendar and voted on separately. This matter concerns an appointment to the Stanislaus County Local Task Force on Solid Waste Management. The local task force serves as the advisory body for both the county and all nine incorporated cities relative to integrated solid waste management, and assists with the jurisdiction in identifying, developing, and implementing environmental sound solid waste management policy, process, and programs. Members of this task force serve an important role. It has been my experience that Dennis Schuler has not been cooperative with Stanislaus County in complying with regulations or resolving violations concerning a local resource recovery and transfer facility. Because of that experience, I do not believe it is the best interest of the people of Stanislaus County to approve Mr. Schuler's appointment to the local task force. At the appropriate time, I'd like to make a motion to not accept or approve agenda item 3AD.
Okay, Supervisor Chiesa?
We just pushed that little
button. Oh, okay. Pushed the wrong button here. We're not getting off to a good start today. Now, Supervisor Grover.
Thank you. With all respect to my colleague, I have chaired this particular committee for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you have an air pollution problem in your district you're working on, and that's what you're referencing to. In the case of this particular committee, I believe it's appropriate that industry people sit on the committee and advise us, advise the committee, which then advises the board on our solid waste matters. I'll defer to the rest of the board, but...
Well, see, I have no problem with that. I believe that's the way it should be done. Just in this case, this individual has not been cooperative with some problems and challenges that we've had with the county. And so I question the fact that this man should be on that advisory committee. Now, I am not saying that I have anyone that I want to appoint. I still believe that belongs to the committee. I'm just stating that in this particular case for this individual, he has demonstrated to me that I question the fact that he's the best representative for us to be on for Stanislaus County. So I'm not objecting to what you're saying. We need representation from the industry. I'm just not happy with this gentleman on this board.
Got it. Okay.
And you're on the committee, Mr. Grover. He's on for reappointment, so he's been on this board for a few years.
Before I was there, and I've been there 6 years. And this particular committee only meets every other month, I believe, and we just review what's taking place in solid waste.
Okay. Further comment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Usually these appointments in the past have all been unanimous, so this is the first one I can recall that we've had an objection to.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that you have a motion on the floor by Supervisor Monteith that if you move that forward, the question would be, is there a second to the motion? If a second occurs, then you would have a vote. If not, then the motion would fail for lack of a second, and you would ask if there would be a motion to approve.
Okay. Supervisor Monteith, you want to make that motion?
Yes, I make a motion to not approve agenda item A3D.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion? Okay, lack of second, motion dies. I'll entertain another motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve item A3D.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's made by Supervisor O'Brien, seconded by Supervisor Grover, for approval of item A3D. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
The motion passes 4-1. Okay, we'll move to item B3. Staff report, Mr. Boggs.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board. Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive, Chief Executive Office. I'm here this morning to share the annual report on the Stanislaus County Employee Mentor Program. A program that celebrates its 10th anniversary this month, 10 years, a decade, double digits. I'm very excited about that. An accomplishment that speaks volumes to the character and commitment of those employees who give of their time to be role models for some of our most challenged young people. January is National Mentor Awareness Month, and consistent with that distinction, we ask that you consider a proclamation today naming January 2009 as Mentor Awareness Month here in Stanislaus County. The Employee Mentor Program started as a pilot program in September of 1998, becoming program in January of 1999. At a time when most public sector mentor programs seem to have a half-life of about 22 months, our program has become a model for sustainability and recognized nationally, most recently at the National Mentor Summit last September. Over the past 2 years, the employees of the Stanislaus County Office of Education have come alongside our employee effort, as has the Modesto Lions 500 Club and the Macerich Group at Vintage Fair Mall, adopting the model with their own employee teams and helping to grow this program into a much broader community-wide effort. All of these participant groups are to be commended, and we do have some of our mentors and our partners here this morning, and if I could just ask all of those folks who are participants to our mentor program to stand and be recognized, I'd really appreciate that. Give yourselves a hand. Thank you very much. Thank you. Since inception, over 350 Stanislaus County employees have contributed 13,873 hours of quality mentor time. And with all of those partners in the community that I've just mentioned, this number is an impressive 14,238 total hours. This is personal. It's non-work time. It's at lunch, after hours, and on the weekend. This past calendar year, 16 county departments had employee representatives participating in the program, resulting in 1,308 mentor hours. To mentor is to realize a significant return on personal investment. First, student attendance is up with our proteges. Kids are going to school, and we all know that getting kids to school in an attentive fashion is the first victory to successful learning. Secondly, reading and comprehension levels are on the rise, in some instances improving 3 and 4 levels in a single school year. And perhaps most importantly, social and interactive skills, decision-making skills, situational coping skills are very much improved. Young people with a mentor in their life are 46% less likely to start using drugs, 33% less likely to hit someone, and 80% less likely to commit a crime. 80% less likely to commit a crime. On behalf of our employees and all of our partner employees from SCO, service clubs, and the private business sector, I'd like to thank your board for your continued support and would like to extend an invitation to join this community for an evening of celebration on January 20th, next Tuesday evening, at 5:30 p.m. at the Martin Peterson Event Center in downtown Modesto. And this concludes my very brief report out this morning. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and I do believe that there are several who wish to give brief testimonial, and I thank you.
Before we go to the public comment, are there any questions to Mr. Boggs? Mr. Boggs, let me ask you, when you pick a student, this is a one-year commitment, or does it go past the 1 year?
It's a one-year commitment, so it's kind of a rolling participation with county employees. Some employees have been a part of this program for the entire 10 years. Others were a part of it early and have come back. It's a commitment of self and time, and your family always comes first. So people come and they go, and some stay.
Mm-hmm. And to the students that are mentored, do you have that one student for the year then?
Absolutely. Yes. It's actually evolved into a team-based program where up to 3 county employees or three individuals, for lack of a better descriptor, adopt a young person for that school year. And that way, if you have a commitment that you can't make your slated 40-minute session, and one of your team members can be there for you, so that every week 2 40-minute sessions occur with that young person.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions to Mr. Boggs? Okay, we'll go to a public comment. There's been a few people that have asked to speak. Mr. Tom Ciccarelli.
Thank you, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board. I'm Tom Ciccarelli, the president and CEO of United Way of Stanislaus County. And on behalf of the United Way, we would like to commend the Board of Supervisors and Rick Robinson for your vision in supporting this beneficial mentoring program for the employees and the youth of Stanislaus County. 10 years ago, the County of Stanislaus, in partnership with the Volunteer Center of United Way, developed the Stanislaus County Employee Mentors Program to offer its employees an opportunity to make a positive impact on the lives of young people in our community. This innovative model of corporate citizenship is successful because it offers a selection of academic and community-based mentoring opportunities, enabling employees to volunteer on a one-on-one basis with children or pairing up with one of their coworkers to volunteer as a team. Because of your decision to put into action this model program of community connection and partnership and your ongoing support, Stanislaus County Employee Mentor Volunteers enhance young people's prospects for leading a healthy and productive life. And working together, we can and will continue to make a difference in the lives of children in our community. So on behalf of the people we serve, we want to thank you for your vision and your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ciccarelli. I have a card from Debbie Glover and a Abby Vaughn.
Hello, I'm Debbie Glover. I work at Everett Elementary School. I'm a reading specialist there, and I help maintain the mentor program. And I've only been part of it for about 2.5 years, but I've seen several children thrive because of it. And because, as you guys probably also well are aware, we're very data-driven. So what I've done is just looked at about 3 students and what, after having a year of mentor, what it has done to their test scores. And this is Anna. She was part of the program last year. And the year previous, on her California state test, she received a 309. Then after having the mentor program, she went up to a 330, which is a lot of growth on those tests. It's difficult to make growth like that. And then there's another student named Eileen who couldn't be here today. Her previous score was 255, and she went to a 322. So what I'll read for Anna right now, Eileen, because she wasn't here, she told me what she thought of being in the mentor program. And I think hearing that score and hearing what she has to say really matches well. Before I had a mentor, I was not good at reading. I didn't like to read and was very scared when I had to read aloud in class. Math was also hard for me. After I was in the mentor program, my reading got much better, and I was no longer afraid to read aloud in class. I even volunteered sometimes. My test scores also went up. I'm glad I was a part of the mentor program. It has made a big difference for me. And one other young man that's not here, I think this really testifies to the fact that having a mentor not only helped his test scores, but it must have done something else for him, because he had scored a 286 like the previous year. And he had been a good student, and then he went down to 286, and then after having the mentor for the year, he went back up to a 385. So something was happening with him that wasn't connecting, and then I think really having the mentor, having that extra attention, pulled him back around. So I can't say enough for the program and all the people that coordinate it and work for it. It's a lot of work coordinating it, but when you see the scores like this and the difference it makes in the kids, we'd just like to say thank you for helping support that program. And Anna would like to read what she has.
Hi, my name is Anna Bundoshom in fifth grade. Before I had a mentor, I didn't know how to read because I thought it was boring and hard. After I was in a mentor program, I got better at reading and got better test scores. Now I like reading and I read at home just for fun. I'm glad I was of the mentor program. It has helped me a lot.
It's David Ingersoll. Our child support director, for those of you who don't know. No one's ran out of the room, so that's a good sign.
Good morning, Chairman DeMarcini, supervisors, CEO Robinson, and Council Doering. The Department of Child Support Services supports mentoring. This is referenced in the agenda item that's before you now. Why? Most people want to make a difference, and mentoring makes a difference, a big difference. Not only does it reduce the negatives that you've heard Keith talk about, like drug abuse and youth violence, it increases positives like academic performance. You just heard before from Anna, especially reading. And as we all know, reading is critical to any kind of success in life. In addition to the performance in academics, mentoring promotes and demonstrates positive values, values that are universal, like the Golden Rule. These values are essential to the individual and to the community. And like many other gifts, mentors receive from their giving. I was a mentor, and I saw the look in my students' eyes, the sparkle on their face. I am proud, very proud, to support the mentoring program, and I am not alone. National Mentoring Awareness Month has been recognized not just by California, but also by a proclamation by President Bush, and also President-elect Obama has done public service announcements in recognition of this month as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ingersoll. Any further comments from the public on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for action. Supervisor Grover.
Well, I'd like to commend Keith for his energy and enthusiasm in continuing this, and I think the reason that this has had the legs that it's had have been largely your investment of yourself in it. So thank you for that and for the many folks that spend their time doing this. I think it's time well spent. I'd like to move approval of the two recommendations.
Okay. I'm going to get to you in just a minute here. There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second to it? I think it's Supervisor Keyes that got beat you to it. Motion's made by Supervisor Grover and seconded by Supervisor Keyes. Before we get to a vote, further comments from Supervisor Monteith?
Yes, I would like to commend everyone and thank everyone for their personal involvement. Coming on the Board of Supervisors and becoming aware of the Mentors program which you have has been one of the most biggest surprises I've run into, and a very pleasant surprise. I've had an opportunity to be involved in various programs, but this program is the top. And all of you who participate have given your personal time. You know, it's not like going to a meeting. You're identifying on a one-to-one. There's probably a relationship there that you will have all your life. The person you're mentoring will remember you as an individual all their lives, and you likewise. And with that combination of working together for a common goal is how we can solve many, many of our problems rather than by law, but because what we're really saying to the individual is that you are important. As much as government tries to address issues, they can't say that. They can hand out money, but money in itself is not the answer. So once again, I just want to praise you and thank you for the work you've done and your continuation, and thank you very much.
Hey, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, there's no way I could speak more eloquently than Supervisor Monteith just did and Supervisor Grover before him. I would like to acknowledge Keith Boggs and the outstanding work that he has done. This program is a best practice recognized nationally and has affected the lives of hundreds of people in our community. Mr. Boggs actively supports this program. And not only does he support it for county employees, but he reaches out to other agencies throughout Stanislaus County to introduce this program to their communities. And with his leadership and guidance and insight and the very generous contributions of employees in Stanislaus County and in other agencies throughout the county, this program really is making a difference in the lives of the youth in our community. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve the progress report of the mentor program and to acknowledge January as Mentor Awareness Month. Are there any further comments from the board? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Okay, we have a scheduled public hearing, 9:15 public hearing. Now, on the revising of the load capacity for Crabtree Road. We have a staff report, Public Works.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. Matt Machado here, Director of Public Works, and with me today is Dave Lehman. He is our division manager for engineering design, which also includes the management of our bridge program. And today, Dave will briefly report on the proposed change for one of our bridges, Crabtree Road Bridge, based upon, and this is the public hearing. So I'll turn it to Dave to give a brief report, and then we'll proceed with public hearing and comments.
Good morning. Crabtree Road Bridge at Dry Creek, Bridge 38C0009. Was built in 1920 and consists of a riveted truss through Pratt Bridge with a corrugated metal deck and timber stringers on reinforced concrete abutments. The average daily traffic on this bridge is 100 vehicles per day. The bridge has been weight restricted since 1979. The current weight restrictions are 17 tons per vehicle, or 25 tons per semi-trailer combination, or 29 tons per truck and full trailer. Currently, we placed stop signs on either side of the bridge to reduce vehicular speeds over this bridge. The bridge is currently structurally deficient. In addition, this bridge has a long detour of approximately 22 miles. It is in our 20-year plan to replace this bridge. It is number 9 on Public Works priority list for replacements. The approximate replacement cost of this bridge is about $3 million with the approach work. And we are facilitating the meeting for Caltrans. The director will actually sign the weight restriction once we hold the public hearing. And so we probably need to open it up for public comment.
Okay. Before we do that, are there any questions with staff? Okay, Supervisor Grover.
I noticed there in fiscal impact that it's $1,000. Are we putting more than two small signs in front of this bridge?
We've already placed two orange signs, the temporary weight restrictions that Caltrans is recommending. And, yeah, it's $1,000 for two more signs approximately with staff time and everything else, I approximate. So that's what we plan on doing on this is just replace two signs on either end of the approaches.
Pretty spendy signs.
Yeah, how many men do you
have? Is that not to exceed or total?
Not to exceed, yes. That's not the total.
And I think the cost will be what it is, you know, we have our own sign shop, so we'll produce the signs ourselves, and we'll go out there and place it ourselves. So I suspect it'll come in considerably less than that, but we wanted to make sure we captured the maximum potential there. And it's a ways out there, but I suspect it'll be quite a bit less than that. And it will be absorbed within our roads budget. So,
I noticed that since this bridge is weight restricted already, the changes you're asking for are relatively minor, hardly requiring board action. The current weight restriction is 17 tons. You want to raise it to 20, which is not much of a change. Semi-trailer combination. 25 tons at present, you want to lower it to 24. It's only 1 ton difference. And the truck and full trailer, 29 tons at present, the 26 is hardly seems like it's even worth bringing a sign out there for that.
It's about a 10% change. And what we've heard from the neighbors out there are that there are fully loaded hay trucks running over that bridge because it is a long detour. And the reason why we put the stop signs up was to try to get people to slow down over this bridge. What the bridge can carry and what it's posted for are two different things, but you need to be conservative as an engineer so hay trucks don't fall into a dry creek. So it's one of those things that it seems fairly minor, but it's about a 10% weight reduction for the fully loaded trucks.
And, of course, the recommendation is based upon a Caltrans engineering inspection and report. So we're following suit with their recommendation. They do provide all of the inspection for all of our bridges, and so that was the impetus to bring this to you in public hearing form. So,
okay, this is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing. All those who wish to speak on this issue, just line up in front of the podium. Okay, well, there we go. Close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for action.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
A motion is made by Supervisor O'Brien and seconded by Supervisor Monteith. Any further discussion? And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item B4, approval of payment with West Park. I'll let you go into this, Mr. Boggs.
Yes, I actually will be making the presentation this morning. Rick Robinson, CEO. I would like to preface the prepared remarks with a recognition that we did receive a fax this morning from WSPACE.org and I'd like to read the content of that fax to the best of my ability to read the printed page that I have. Regarding board agenda, number B4, PCCP, West Park LLC, and the County of Stanislaus, Inland Port Project Payment Agreement, and then print final. Members of the board, Mr. Doring, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Boggs, we are writing to request that you continue this item for the following reasons. One, there is significant public opposition to the project. Two, while Stanislaus County may have met the legal standard required in the Brown Act members of, and to the Brown Act members of the community who have a direct interest and demand that demonstrated concern regarding this project did not have sufficient notice nor access to the appropriate documents in order to meaningfully, and my apologies, my copy is not great, to meaningfully participate in today's hearing. Three, the contract represents yet another discretionary approval, further limiting
narrowing
the alternatives associated with the redevelopment of the Crow's Landing Naval, I assume it says base, and we object to any future approvals which commit Stanislaus County resource to the project in advance of CEQA review. Request that the county make available for public review all documents for which the contract is reliant well in advance of the continued hearing. Finally, request this letter be included in the record, which I have done pursuant to my reading. In response to this letter, I would encourage strongly that the board move forward with today's discussion and as appropriate action, as the county is working very closely with the California Transportation Commission, meeting deadlines of the commission, and trying to move forward what we view as a very important jobs-creating program in a time of high unemployment in our region. So without further ado, and having duly noted the facts by W.S. Pace, I would ask Mr. Boggs to begin.
Per board direction, members directed on January 15, 2008, the county submit an application to the California Transportation Commission, the CTC.
See, I can cover that part. Well, if you want to run the slideshow, and then we will have questions.
I was just going to run. I'm sorry. Give me the opportunity.
I would also indicate that Steve Mattis, who has been counsel to the county and development of this agreement, is in the audience. And Mr. Boggs is undoubtedly more qualified and capable than am I to make this presentation. However, given the nature of the content of today's discussion, I felt it was appropriate that I do so. And what we're speaking of is approximately $57 million project that would bring short haul rail to the Crow's Landing project, of which $22.5 million is earmarked from CTC funding, and approximately $35 million to be funded from other sources. And our proposal today, if approved by the Board of Supervisors, would commit the developer, PCCP West Park, to that funding. On January 15, 2008, the county submitted an application to the California Transportation Commission for the Trade Corridor Infrastructure Fund, TCIF, for the San Joaquin Valley Short Haul Rail Inland Port Project. The county's project was approved by the CTC on April 10, 2008. Pursuant to the grant process, an agreement is required between the CTC and the county called the Project Baseline Agreement. Project Baseline Agreement requires a resolution supporting the availability of funding. That agreement would indicate that the county is responsible for supplemental funding as required to complete the Inland Port Project. Kenny and West Park have agreed that West Park would provide all supplemental funding and security for payment in the form of a payment bond or an other or other sources as approved by the county. In other words, West Park would be obligated to pay all of the county's costs under the project baseline agreement. There is no fiscal impact to the county based on the payment agreement and cost reimbursement obligations imposed on West Park. The recommended actions this morning are, for one, the approval of the payment agreement with PCCB West Park, designating West Park's responsibility for payment of all supplemental funding requirements as set forth in the California Transportation Commission baseline funding agreement for the development of an inland port short-haul rail project at the county-owned Crow's Landing Air Facility, authorization for the chairman to sign the payment agreement with PCCB West Park, the adoption of a resolution whereby through the parameters of the payment agreement, the county agrees to commit to the California Transportation Commission the availability of supplemental funding, and authorization for the Chief Executive Officer to submit all documentation and the board resolution as part of the project baseline agreement. As I had indicated to you at the outset of my comments, we are working very closely with the staff of the California Transportation Commission, identifying, addressing their issues, and working with their timelines. Do you have any questions?
Supervisor Grover.
Mr. Robinson, if we would approve this payment agreement and resolution, would it commit the county to pay if the project did not proceed for any reason?
No, the agreement is specific in that it does not require a county payment. At this time, I would like to introduce Steve Mattis, who can go into some of the legal technical details relating to the agreement between PCCB West Park and the county and the resolution between the that could be approved by the Board of Supervisors and submitted to CTC.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. The agreement does not obligate the county to actually make the payment with county funds. The agreement obligates West Park to provide the supplemental funding in the entire amount such that the county could meet the supplemental funding commitment that the CTC requires to access and receive the state funds. So there would not be any financial obligation on the part of the county. In addition, the agreement requires that West Park reimburse the county for its costs associated with processing of the agreement as you go forward and in preparation of the agreement.
Okay. Second question then, does the county retain the discretion to modify the project or any part of the project depending on the outcome of CEQA?
Yes, the agreement speaks, specifically the payment agreement does, to the necessity of completion of CEQA, as well as the fact that the county is making no commitments with regards to the planning, zoning, and CEQA compliance actions that will come forward before this board at some point in the future once the CEQA documentation is done. So there is no, there is a complete ability for the board to consider any alternatives that may come up as part of the CEQA process and to ultimately act or reject the project as you deem appropriate at the time that you have the appropriate documents before you.
Okay. Thank you.
And Supervisor Chiesa?
Yeah. CEO Robinson, you had said there was a timeline. The CTC has a timeline for this. Can I get a general overview of what the California Transportation Commission timeline is, what we're looking at?
We're looking at, we have actually four outstanding issues. To begin the CEQA process, which we've started that process, to prepare an operations and business plan for the short-haul inland port. That meeting occurred with the CTC staff with those final documents on the 16th of December, so we've checked that off as well. The third piece is this discussion this morning with regards to the baseline agreement and payment agreement and resolution, and hopefully today we'll be able to deal with that. And then the final piece, which we've been waiting on, is the opportunity to open a negotiation with UP Railroad, which we anticipate doing very short term.
Thank you.
First quarter 2009, sorry.
Supervisor O'Brien.
I think I heard you say this, Council, wanted to make sure absolutely clear. By approving this contract today does not approve the project.
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you.
I would add that what we're essentially asking for is the board's approval and authorization to enter into an agreement which commits PCCB West Park to cover all of the financial costs associated with the inland port project, removing any obligation that the county might otherwise have.
Supervisor Monteith.
If there are no other questions, if it's appropriate, I so move to accept.
I have further questions. But I will accept the motion. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. We're not through with discussion yet. There's a couple of lawsuits pending on this project, and I noticed that Union Pacific is being asked to enter in a memorandum of understanding, and with the lawsuits from the city of Patterson, which may not be settled yet, and then another lawsuit by a local group, I just can't see doing this at this time.
Well,
I didn't ask you. I asked Mr. Mattis.
I was unclear that you were not asking me since I made the presentation. Perhaps Mr. Mattis can answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Robinson. The issue for consideration before the board relates to the timing of the agreement that's before you today and the consideration of that. This agreement does not cause any physical change to the environment. It is a funding commitment that obligates West Park to provide the supplemental funding. The test that the courts look to under CEQA is whether or not the actions that you take foreclose consideration of any alternatives or mitigation measures. If you're doing that, then you have to have complied with CEQA in advance. This agreement does not do that. It, in fact, does expressly the opposite. It recognizes that the county is going through a CEQA process right now, and that the board will be presented with alternatives, appropriate mitigation measures for consideration. In the event that the board were to decide that the environmental issues that arise as part of the CEQA process are unacceptable to you, and were to determine that you decided not to approve the project, in all likelihood what would then happen is that the CTC, unless the county had an alternative project that could utilize these funds, the CTC would simply reprogram the funds to other eligible projects within their funding purview.
Let's see. If it was just $22 million as a public subsidy that's going to go into this project, should it be approved, where exactly is this money going to be spent at? Is it going to be in Lathrop? Is it going to be in Stanislaus County? It's always been unclear to me about where this money is going to be spent.
Actually, the physical infrastructure at Lyoff Connection will be a significant part of that money. Making the southerly turn on the Oakland subline onto the trackage that currently exists south along Highway 33, also with a crossage of Highway 33 onto the county-owned Crow's Landing Air Facility and the recycled former north-south runway, which has been identified and is being currently studied under CEQA for a potential inland port.
Is the CEQA process going to apply to that switching station also?
The CEQA process will apply to the project, yes, sir.
And considering the lawsuits and the problems and the unpopularity of this project and the public subsidy involved, there's no way I'm going to vote for it. Further comments from the board? Okay, motion been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Me? No. Okay, motion passes 4-1.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we will move to correspondence.
This board has received a claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Board of Supervisors reports. Anybody wish to make a comment? Okay, seeing none, legislative and fiscal management report. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, as we are all well aware, no action, definitive action has been taken by the administration or the legislature to address the multi-billion dollar budget gap in the state budget. We will have a better indication of the governor's 2009-10 budget proposal next Tuesday. Would indicate that one of the proposals for elimination is the Williamson Act subvention, which would cost approximately $1.5 million to Stanislaus County. It's a $35 million statewide program and could have some fairly significant adverse consequences to agriculture, not only in Stanislaus County, but throughout the state. And we'll have better information for you as the governor's proposal is fully fleshed out and analyzed.
Mr. Robinson, I received something from CSAC yesterday that's saying the state was considering withholding money from social services to the counties for 7 months. Have you heard that? That's the first I've heard of it.
Something came across yesterday from the CSAC executive director, as I recall. We haven't been able to determine whose proposal that is, other than the administration's, and whether it will have any substance. In likelihood, it won't, because that would essentially shut down many, if not all, of the social services programs throughout the state. So while it is a proposal or a statement that attracts a lot of attention, at a practical level, it probably is not implementable.
It'll be an interesting year.
It will be a very interesting year.
Okay, at this time we will adjourn to closed session. Mr. Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving two cases pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision C, and we do not expect any report out on either of these matters.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.